cars.
My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
I'm here. Hi, friends.
We've got lots of other people around us. And,
lots of friends.
You'll be hearing from them soon because this is our annual field trip to the Scarehouse basement. It's not about a movie this week.
Should say it's spooky, like live from Scarehouse. Or someone probably does
that
better
wasn't,
here.
That wasn't spooky. Well,
you know, most of the voices here are not like spooky, traditional spooky. They're so weird and creepy that you're like, it's worse. It's worse than a demon voice.
And we'll explain lots of things that are worse than a demon voice this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. The guys would love it if you would subscribe to them, give them a rating and a review. If you like the episode, please just share it. It's super easy. Your kids can show you how to do it. And you can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie, where I interview musicians, comics, just anybody who entertains me. And I tackle a different topic every episode. So come laugh at us as we laugh at ourselves.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Halloween season.
For October's
17th. For multiple October dates.
We're throwing this out right away. Not throwing it out. We're releasing this right away.
We're releasing this episode.
I was like, this podcast is shit. We're out of here.
Hey, you want to make your Halloween plans.
Absolutely.
And if you're
as
in Pittsburgh.
As early as possible.
As we've told you, is this our fourth year doing this? I think it is.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I think so.
Your Halloween plans in Pittsburgh must include the Scarehouse.
Absolutely.
Upstairs and downstairs. We'll talk about upstairs a little bit towards the end of the podcast. I want to get straight to the basement. And first, to pitch the story of this. If you don't know, Aaron, tell them what the basement is.
I'm going to get corrected because the people that run it, it's an immersive haunted house, really.
Yeah.
But it's like you're living a movie. That's my favorite part about it, is that you're just like, holy crap, I'm here. And there's moments where, you know, you're living a movie. It's pretty rad. If you like horror movies or just,
being tormented.
Yeah, you're touched and things.
And things.
Your hand, mouth and
we'll
hands.
We'll spoil some of them. And we should tease now.
Yeah.
If you want to hear
try not to spoil
a first time experience in the basement,
listen
to Aaron's podcast, Grown Dad Business.
Yeah, Jason Clark.
This Friday, where co-host Jason Clark, he's standing near me. I'm not looking at him.
No, I'm not looking at him either.
He went through the basement for the first time. The last haunted house he was in was like a hayride at a church bazaar in 1988. And we threw him in the basement.
Scott worked there.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. And Jason went through the basement, so that's on Grown Dad Business this week. But here to run down the story of this year's basement, you heard him last week for our first ever Horror Villain Deathmatch Tournament, back again on the show.
Good feedback on that one, by the way.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Scott Simmons is back, everybody. Here's Scott.
Hi, everybody. Do you want me to hold the mic? Oh, I can hold the mic.
Passing hot potato. Am I?
Yes.
I asked Scott.
Yes.
Tell us the background on this year's basement experience.
So this is actually our fifth year for doing the basement. And as you guys know, who have been to not only the main seasons, but the off-season special events, each one is radically different. You know, not just we're changing everything about it, scenic, themic, story, all of it. And so some years have been a little bit more like a loose series of interconnected scenes, but this year we really wanted to try to actually tell a story, do a little bit more of the scenic and themic stuff than we've done before. And it all started last year. We had within the basement, which was Happy's birthday party, we had a very popular character and a very intriguing character that was sort of percolating around, and then we did a Valentine's Day event.
Well, yeah, I thought I was going to get a year without being harassed by Happy.
Yeah.
And then
you kind of did.
And then
yeah.
you threw me in a closet.
Yes.
In a dark closet.
I did.
And when the lights came on, it wasn't Happy.
No.
But it was the actress who plays Happy giggling and cackling and yes. grabbing at my legs.
Yes.
So basically Happy.
Yeah. yeah. You got to give the people what they want.
But do wait, I want that? No,
you
she's
know
great.
I mean, buy the ticket every year. Hashtag no judgment.
Her performance is fantastic. It's just the one that actually terrifies me.
Yeah, it's always fun coming back year to year, and then you see the actress who plays Happy, and you're like, yeah, what's she going to do?
yeah.
There she is.
I think it's funny that you think we have any idea what she's going to do.
Right.
As you'll find out later with other cast members, you really... you can only suggest and hope
right.
and maintain eye contact at all times.
Well, and
not try not to make any sudden movements.
And not to peel the curtain back too far, but Scarehouse staffer and frequent performer Jen Dallas told me earlier in the year that the actress who plays Happy was maybe not participating this year. And did not later tell me, no, in fact, she is.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
those lights came on in the closet, I was like, oh, God damn it. Come on. I thought I was, all right. But anyway, speaking of recurring characters,
yes.
that kind of led to this year's basement.
Yes. It was interesting. We did, for Valentine's Day, we did a theme with a mental asylum. The idea was we did a twisted telling of Alice in Wonderland. But we kind of did a riff on it of what if you went into a mental asylum and the inmates were doing the story of Alice in Wonderland and all of the inmates themselves had created their version of what the story was. So
mm-hmm.
an inmate becomes the rabbit, you know, going through
right.
that whole thing. And as it came time to design Basement this year, we thought, well, what if we just sort of do a sequel to the Valentine's Day and actually do a linear sequel, the idea being that after that Alice in Wonderland situation, that was part of the reason why the asylum went down, why it closed. And many, many, many years later, this place is abandoned, but there are a lot of stories about what happened there. How could we sort of build up with some of the characters and things? And I'm being a little vague because we have actors here who can talk about
yeah.
the characters and where they fit into the story, actually.
Well, I remember leaving last year and saying, Scott,
Said Sean.
Yeah.
Hi. This is how we talk to each other.
We do. I said,
how are you?
That the Maggie character was so great.
Yes.
And here is the performer behind. When Bonnie's here, I just talk to Happy because there's no calling Bonnie out. But you can be you.
Right.
Yeah. Hi. And Madison, and I don't know how many of your Facebook names are... what should I call you beyond Madison?
It's Madison Seiple.
Madison Seiple,
yeah.
who plays Maggie. And I'm going to let Aaron interview you, because if it's us, we're just going to talk about how Hufflepuffs are the best people
yes,
all
yeah.
night. So, Aaron, take over.
Hashtag fake news.
Wait, how spoiler we are we?
I mean, Maggie is in the promo video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know, and it's set up initially. We'll talk about the beginning, but we know we're going looking for Maggie, so
yeah.
that's all
and
fair
it
ground.
Really, it really can't be that much of a spoiler to be like, oh, I mean, it's kind of like saying, oh, there's a new Friday the 13th. I wonder if Jason will be in
right.
it. You know, it, yeah.
Okay, I understand. So I don't even know what to ask. I'm brain dead right now. I didn't have Maggie.
Oh right.
I missed Maggie.
Yep.
And I
missed my day off.
I know. And I was upset. And I found out a lot of things about myself.
Yeah.
And about Maggie. And what is your experience? What do you like about it? Because we try to talk to Happy about it, and Happy's answers are just, you know, psychopathic. But you're a real person tonight. So why do you like doing that?
Doing the basement?
Yeah. Why do you like doing that to people? Because I'm like, wow, that's like...
There is such a great appeal behind getting in someone's head.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because that's the one thing that people really, they have. That's their own. And when you can infiltrate that, you have the control.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean,
that's what that is one of the most fascinating things about it, is that when, you know, you kind of, they ask you some questions and kind of dig into you, and you're like, oh man, because you don't want to lie, because then if you lie, you don't know if you're going to have to go with it for the next 20 minutes. You're like, oh man, I made up this story, and now like they think I'm a weird person. Or have you what was your favorite reaction you ever got? Because you're the star. I mean, you,
yeah,
you get to really, like, you know, nail someone before they get out.
Yeah. My favorite reaction, my favorite, and it happens fairly often, is just when I'm becoming Maggie, because there's a little bit of a twist there, when the jaw drops. And there's no response. I'm asking questions, and it's just the jaw dropped. Mm-hmm. The entire time. That's a great reaction to me.
No, my too much of a spoiler, so I'll speak vaguely. I went through a week ago with Mary Beth.
I have to come back now.
I know. And Mary Beth got outside and said, "Wait, was she the doctor too?" Like, it was such a big turn that briefly her reaction was, "That was not the same person." So this is a little spoilery, but because you did it last year, mm-hmm. you have, let's just say you have multiple roles.
Right.
How is it, is that exhausting? Is that challenging?
It is exhausting. It's mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a 3-minute scene,
mm-hmm.
every 3 minutes, switching between 3 different characters, like boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
It is mentally exhausting, but I've gotten it down to a science that it's very easy to change,
mm-hmm.
and I've made sure that I not only change the voices and the pitch, but I'm changing my body structure,
yeah.
whereas one character stands a little bit different than the other character. Mm-hmm.
And tell me about what it's like to know, like Happy did last year, that this is your show, that you are the climax of this experience is your scene.
Yeah.
Was that intimidating when they pitched that to you?
Extremely intimidating.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I felt like it was a lot of pressure to be like a good mm. finale, but that mm. made it all the more exciting when I was able to really attach to my scene. When when I was messing around mentally trying to find where I was going to go with it, and it clicked. It's like a puzzle piece, and I'm like, this is my character, I'm going to go mm-hmm. with it. It was really humbling, honestly.
And this is me jumping in. One thing I'll say about all the basement actors is, unlike Scarehouse, they have to do these character changes and entertain people and laugh and then be scary, but it's a low-tech, for the most part, experience. Mm-hmm. You know, when Madison is going through different characters and transitions, we don't mean, oh, there's a special effect. It's something that, exactly what she said, she has to do it with maintaining eye contact and doing the sort of the physicality and the language change. And yeah, it's definitely remarkable.
Madison, tell people where they can find you on the internet, because you do internet things, right?
Yeah.
Or you plug your social media if you have anything you want.
Media.
Yeah, if there's anything you want to plug. Yeah.
Wow.
Etsy store?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll plug my social media, sure. Yeah. I'm most active on Instagram. My tag is Muggle Maddie.
See, we could just have a long Harry Potter conversation. Yeah, Jason knows. He's not here. Don't worry about him. Yeah. No, that was the first thing I said after Mary Beth and I got out. I was like, she was like, yeah, Maggie was really good. I was like, yeah, no, remember when we were in Universal last week, she commented on our Harry Potter pictures,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, find Madison on Instagram at Muggle Maddie. And you are a performer year-round, not just in the basement, right?
Yeah, I went to school for musical theater.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining the podcast tonight.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll see more of Maggie in the future. And hi, Aaron.
Hey, man, I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Talk about, you just went through, you're the one of us here who just went through tonight.
Yeah.
So briefly, give your review of this year's basement, and then we have another performer.
My favorite part is the scenes when you get to just I might look at it a little bit differently than some people that are horrified, but like I look at it as I'm like in a play,
yeah.
you know, or a movie, like I always say. So I love, you know, and as an actor and as another, you know, entertainer, you know, you're sitting there like, wow, you guys are awesome, good job, you know, like, you know, our host before we go in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, she's really funny. This is a great character. You know, we'll talk to her in a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I love experiencing those scenes with the actors. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Good job. And I was in solitary confinement. And
Yeah, that's great.
That was fun. And I'm not spoiling, but, you know, that's, I mean, you're like, oh, yeah, in an asylum, you'd figure you'd experience that.
Well, so. And I liked that this year, and this will, again, lead into our next interview. I liked that there was a clear reason why we were here this time.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting and creative.
We're urban explorers.
We're urban explorers. I love that there's just these, like, you know, people that were like, skateboarding's too boring. Let's explore old abandoned haunted buildings. And it seems like there's just this ragtag of urban explorers like, hey, man, give us $20 and we'll show you a ghost. Like, that's what it feels like.
You
want to see a dead body? Come in here.
Okay.
Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, these guys are cool.
This is an aside. I never really did that, but I, like, pretended that that was something I was into in college.
Sure, yeah.
And at Penn State, there's a million buildings that, like, if you just know, like, oh, they don't lock that door.
Oh, yeah. I went to Mike Tyson's house in Ohio.
Okay, what?
Yeah, his abandoned mansion.
Okay, that's amazing.
In the middle of Ohio. Go look it up on the internet. It's pretty rad.
Penn State has a forensic science program. Okay. And we went one night and we're like, let's see if they left it open. And they did, and it was set up as a brutal murder scene. So we're walking in to just a random house that has bloody handprints on the door and cocaine spilled everywhere, and, like, there's a dummy corpse over here.
And you're like, I'm going to plug in my iPod. Let's party.
Right. And then we were like, let's go to the basement.
Yeah, dude.
And we go into the basement. The basement's just a classroom. So we're like, oh, okay, well, let's get out of here. And then, like, I heard the slightest little, like, noise that could have been a chair moving and just start yelling, go, 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 go. And, like, our buddy who never went upstairs is on the phone with his girlfriend, like, taking her coffee order and doesn't want her to know we're freaking out. So he's running out the door with us, like, oh, do you want milk? I'll get you a milk. I'll get you a milk. And, yeah, that was cool.
Oh, yeah,
that's my
urban
point.
Explorer.
Urban exploration.
Let's introduce our urban explorer.
Yeah. Hey, it's Blue Sky, everybody. Do you want to be in
character? What would you like?
Okay, we'll talk to both. First, here's Blue Sky.
What up, bro?
It's exciting to be able to visit the asylum with you, Blue Sky.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. What'd you think? Was it intense? Was it extreme? Are you ready?
I feel like a true herb X now. I do.
You know what?
I got the lingo down.
We're doing a pound it over the waves. We're doing a pound it. We're going to blow it up. Yeah.
Can you guys hear it?
Woo! Throwing grenades. Love it. Love it.
I know. I appreciate your intro to the asylum, and I appreciate that you care about us enough. You know, stretch it out.
Yeah.
Shake it out. Get the giggles out. Get the, I don't know.
There are gigglers, and I said, you know what?
I was giggling.
I giggle sometimes when I'm uncomfortable. It's okay. It's okay, bro. You do you. Meet me where you
are.
When
we were in our intro circle, we did get a stone face.
There
was a stone face tough guy in there. And I just wish I could follow those people around. I know Scott has probably sat on the monitors and watched tough guys get scared. And I just wish I could do that sometimes.
Okay. Dropping the illusion. Hey, Blue Sky is my friend Bevan, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Bevan. Bevan
persona
and I.
Persona change. Sorry, Sean.
Bevan and I are good friends. We go to metal shows and on brewery tours and play board games.
That's a cool friend.
Yeah.
I know.
That's a little urbex.
Right. and I've seen Bevan in any number of theatrical experiences, but this is your first time. This is your first time at Scarehouse, right?
It is my first time at Scarehouse.
And you have the job of, like, making sure people are prepared for the basement.
Yes.
So talk about that for a minute.
Sure. So first and foremost, I have to make sure that people are aware of some of the rules and guidelines. With immersive theater, it's one of the things that's important for the audience to understand is kind of where the boundaries are. But in addition, I think it's important for them to know the backstory of why they're there so that they can really, you know, get into the scenes and into the experience, and there's some backstory for it. So I provide some of that as well.
And that's a really, and we talked about this the other day, it's actually very important that you're more funny because some people, I mean, there are plenty of people who are utterly comfortable going into the basement, but there are others who are so nervous that you actually need to bring them down a little bit so they can go in without losing their mind and immediately escaping.
Indeed. So the approach that that Blue Sky takes is, you know, giving them some background so they know what they're getting into, but also giving them, you know, some confidence that they can do it, mm-hmm. because the idea is for people to experience the whole thing, not, you know, to cry uncle, you yeah. know, and leave. And the other part of it that I think is important is that a lot of the things that we are talking about really, you know, did happen. So there's a little
window.
Yeah,
you did a lot of research.
I did
to give
do a
your character
lot of
background.
Research, as poor Scott can attest with all of the articles I've sent him.
You kind of like, at first you were like, you know, you're a cool Blue Sky, and then you turned into like a 2020 special, and I was all into it. I was like, is this real? This stuff is, and then I started thinking of like all the creepy stuff I've listened to and read about asylums, and I'm like, she's right. She's right, guys. They did that shit to people.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
And I mean, we always talk to somebody about this, for you especially, well, for everybody. This has to be so goddamn exhausting.
So as a human energizer bunny,
yeah.
This is one thing that has caused me to need to sleep a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's also energizing in a way, mm-hmm. because it's something that's really interesting and you get to interact with people and show them, you know, things that they would not normally encounter
mm-hmm.
in real life and, you know, broaden some of their perspectives. And it's really neat when you have people that are there in the, you know, kind of when I'm doing my intro and they're saying, did this really happen? Is that really what this place is? You know, and I hope some of them go home and Google it.
Right.
Because it's true.
And why'd you end up, Scott?
Well, and I was going to say that's sort of part of what we're trying to do with Basement this year is really sort of blending that line between exactly what you're saying. Like, did this happen? Did it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. You know, blending like just the real story of this building. And we try to do that upstairs as well,
mm-hmm.
like, did this stuff really happen? And then again, not giving away any spoilers, but also as you go through and you're told, oh, this is one kind of experience and you are one kind of person going through it, that starts shifting.
Yeah.
And really trying to get, as Madison said, get in your head. I want people to come out and go, wait, what? This sort of mm-hmm. have those moments of being on not quite on as much solid ground as they might think.
Mm-hmm. And why is Blue Sky the way she is, other than the fact that it's basically a slight variation on yourself?
Thank you, Sean. You're not the first person to make that, that observation.
It
is. It is. It, at one point, I thought, are they just making fun of me with this character?
No.
And it's okay. Mm. So there is a real culture out there that's the most extreme stuff, the most, you know, adrenaline pumping, evil Knievel mm-hmm. kind of things out there, and that's both in the, you know, the sports and outdoor recreation world as well as with urban exploration.
Mm-hmm.
There's a litany of videos to prove that stuff that's a little bit you know, questionable.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it's like, I can train you, bro. So
right.
I'm trying to, yeah.
Like, I feel
I'm
like
trying
she's,
to help you out.
I feel like Blue Sky has talked a lot of people through bad trips at Burning Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. you can throw whatever at. Are you okay? Do we need to do some feng shui sprays? Let's do a breathing exercise.
Right.
Let's talk you down.
Bevan, last question. Are we going to see Gwar next Monday? It's a week from tomorrow.
I will be volunteering at an arts collective festival in the desert, so no.
See? It's really Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
It's all right. I didn't want to have to get a Gwar outfit. I didn't want to decide what can get covered in fake vomit this month. Thank you for joining us, Bevan.
Thank you.
You should do a movie episode sometime.
So. I would love that.
Yeah, what kind of movies do you like? You could keep you in mind.
We went and saw Neverending Story once.
I do love Neverending Story. So other than that, when I'm not watching Muppet movies, psychological thrillers are Sundance festivals.
We got to watch Mindhunter.
Yeah, we do Mindhunter on Netflix.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll have her on a retro Muppet movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's
Can
do
I
that.
Can I be a female Kermit the Frog?
Yes, you already are.
Or Fozzie the Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
And let's talk about upstairs as well.
That'll be our extra butter, really.
Yeah, extra butter. That's the basement, as always, highly recommended. And, okay, I'm going to bring in Jason for 1 second.
Okay.
Jason Clark via satellite.
Here you go.
Jason, you're going to talk about your basement experience on Grown Dad Business.
Yes.
But I want this endorsement to come from you, because we always say the same thing. Would you recommend the basement to people who are maybe a little bit nervous? There are some people who it's like, if you never do a haunted house of any kind.
He was very nervous.
The basement is not the one to do. But give your recommendation.
I would say that yes. I mean, for me, at one point I questioned, like, I might be a freak. Like, I was like, I'm liking this so much.
That is 100% a true thing. We could talk about that later.
Yeah. Like, I felt like I could take more.
Yeah.
And I came into it thinking, what are they going to do? And I was listening to Blue Sky at the beginning, because I'm like, she's dropping me clues. And my biggest fear was electrocution.
Uh-huh.
That was my biggest fear. And it just so happened that was part of my journey through there was.
Right.
Aaron was with me and he had the other side of it, but I want to share where there was a moment of truth where we had to give our moment of truth and what would end our friendship, and we had to stare at each other.
Oh, they asked you what would end your friendship. What would end your friendship.
And we were basically nose to nose, stare each other in the eye, and I said to him, Harry Potter is way better than Star Wars. So it was absolutely. I mean, we did upstairs first, and that sort of primed me. And it got my blood flowing, and it was so beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, everything was incredible. And then downstairs, the basement is, I would suggest it to anybody that has a little bit of fear. If you're straight up like, hell no,
probably not. But if you watch scary movies, if you've been to haunted houses and you're curious, you think people can make it through.
Absolutely. And just like Aaron said, for me, it was just like, I'm part of this. I like immersive theater. I like being a character. I like, being within the scene and being a part of what happens next. So it was, I tell you what, I haven't had that much fun in a while. And it was a lot of fun.
See, there's an endorsement. Put that on a poster. Let's kick it back. Aaron, I'll let you talk to Scott. We want to hear about the three upstairs haunts. This is what I'll say first, and I said this to you last time. This is the most, the Scare House proper, the one that you buy a ticket for, you see the ads for, has three haunts in one. And it has for many years. And this is the most even those three have been in my mind walking out. I always love it, but it's usually that there's a fantastic first part.
Yeah.
There's a usually very good last part. And the middle part kind of sometimes can get a little squished between everything that's going at the front and the back. This year, the first part, and we'll have you pitch them. But the first part was dialed back just enough to really give a lot of oomph to that middle segment. And I think they're the three best concepts you've had.
Yeah.
And it's just a remarkable one after the other experience. So tell us about that, Scott.
Yeah, Scott, I always am afraid when I come back and I'm like, oh, they're going to get rid of this one haunt, and I'm going to miss it. And this, it answered even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about this a little bit internally. The thing that I love about this building is also its greatest challenge. It is a 100-year-old building. It was a former Etna Elks Lodge, and it's this cool, narrow, weirdly proportioned building.
That may or may not be haunted.
That is definitely haunted. And, it's not like I'm out in a big field somewhere with acres of land. It's not like I'm in a big warehouse. So great. I get all the sort of psychic energy of the building being haunted and the history of it, which is cool.
Yeah, that's a
neat
thing.
It also means we're really limited on space. And it's funny, I have had other friends who own and operate haunted houses all across the country, and they come out and I've had more and more people over the last couple of years come out just to marvel how we were able to cram so much of an experience into the space we do and still maintain ADA standards and still do all this kind of stuff. And this year we finally sort of cracked the code on how to make the middle haunt longer, and as exactly what Sean said, like each experience being about the same length.
Because yeah.
It's always been three haunts. It's always been the first one being a little bit more, I don't want to say traditional, but a little bit more the kind of things you would expect in a haunted house, and a little bit more creepy. The middle one sort of being the halftime show, a little bit weird and fun. And then the last one being the most kind of rock and roll intense.
Right. How do you plan that out timing wise?
A lot of it is just the structure we have of the building and how we can do it. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I think that's a thing
too. I mean, the three parts, like how do you time that out where you know each part is enough?
It's
you just
that's
feel it.
You just
got, it
you
a
just
kind of
got to feel it, yeah. And I mean, it's a thing that it is. And this year, I think we're doing it really well. Other years, we've struggled because you are kind of having it's almost like an anthology, like a creep show or like a horror movie thing or a Tales from the Crypt thing. You've got three distinct stories, and those three stories all have to have beginning, middle, and a climax.
Right, right.
And sometimes that's weird too because you don't, you know, it takes about 25 to 30 minutes to go through the thing. You don't want to have three like big finishes, so it's then that becomes a thing of like, okay, how do we complete the first story, have sort of an ending to the first story for but then the big ending at the end. And there's a lot of almost math that goes into it of figuring out, okay, this goes here and what kind of scare do we want here.
We're going through and you know our friend Jason you know, and I'm like, dude, they hire a lighting director. I'm like whispering all these like stuff at him. I'm like, dude, like, and we always marvel at the creative direction and I mean the art direction. I mean, it's just it's so incredible.
This year was really fun because so we had the three haunts working backwards. Infernal was back. That's the third and final one, which is very
Before we get out of here, definitely pitch the three haunts that would walk through the normal regular scare house.
So working backwards, the last one you see is Infernal Collection, which was here last year. It's very much feels like Evil Dead, like a bunch of demons running around having fun. The middle one we extended it, that was also around last year, Nocturnia, but we turned it into 3D. So it really feels surreal.
Dude, the 3D was incredible. And
thank you.
And you did it wasn't 3D last year.
No.
But there was that optical kind of sensory thing happening. And that 3D felt like it was forever.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it was just like I felt like I was walking in circles. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was so much fun. And then
the return of what was his name? Before there was the Sunset Lodge, it was
the summoning.
The summoning, which ended with a meeting with the ancient one,
The great one,
the great one, who has gone psychedelic in the year in between.
Oh yeah, you know, we are a independent attraction. We don't, you know, I'd love to say, you know, we talk a lot about Universal Studios and things. We don't have their budget, so you know, just like you said earlier in the basement, you're like, oh, that's a different character, you know, different character, but I recognize that actor. Like, same thing. If you come to Scare House every year, like, our animations and props, sometimes they go through character changes, too.
Oh, I love, you know, Sean and I will go through and I'll point at something. I'm like, oh, I always love that horse corpse.
Yes.
Oh. I was like, oh, I love that one.
Can you use the stone you now own of my face?
Yes. Yes.
The Friday night. I was the guinea pig for a life casting demonstration with Jordan. What's his last name?
Jordan Patton.
Jordan Patton, who was on Face Off on the Sci-Fi Network, took a mold of my face on stage at the Carnegie Science Center. And when the question came up, what should I do with this? I want it to show up randomly throughout the scare house.
I want one too now. I want one. I actually have a mold. I told you about last week from a horror movie that never happened. And now I want to have my face that was split with an axe in Scare House. I'm going to get it.
We can do that.
Can we negotiate this next summer? Can we figure out where our faces can go?
Absolutely.
And pitch,
I want my face in here.
And pitch the Sunset Lodge, because that is the big new attraction for 2017.
I was thinking, I wanted to build up to that, because when you say art design, the Sunset Lodge is, we put a lot of thought into making one of the tackiest, ugliest, not only just in terms of the scary, gunky stuff, but Sunset Lodge, and I love that Sunset Lodge has taken the place of the summoning. The summoning was gorgeous. It has been...
I miss it a little.
A little.
It's
I mean, it was
favorites.
All set in 1932. It's been featured in no less than two coffee table books now.
Mm-hmm.
It was really impressive and very sort of sophisticated and elegant. And we thought we would really like to go in a complete opposite direction this year and make a sleazy hotel created in the height of the 80s. Because when you think, like, what's the opposite of classy and elegant? Oh, about 1984 at, like, in the Poconos.
Yeah.
Or certain hotels around here. Or I used Niagara Falls as a reference. Those, like, you know, there's definitely, we created a hotel that definitely has, like, you could rent rooms by the hour. It's got some vibrating beds. The color schemes are not at all what you would expect to see in a haunted house.
It
pastels.
Felt a little, not the woodsy part, but a little Twin Peaksy, creepy.
Little Twin Peaksy,
like very, like, dreamlike.
Yes,
motel.
There's a great hallway scene that was all of that.
Yes,
but that honeymoon suite is so great.
That's our favorite new set, and it's so unlike anything you'd expect to see in a haunted house. It's a honeymoon, and we've got the heart shaped tub.
Yeah, that's when I was with Jason, and I pointed in the hot tub, and I was like, isn't it funny that Scott has to go buy that shit?
Oh, yeah. No, we were loving it.
I'm not giving away the hot tub. But
loving
it. I'm like, Scott has to go buy that.
He has to
go buy that in there. did you finish talking about the three haunts?
I did. I just went
Oh, yeah,
went
that's right. You got
three
you
off.
Went backwards. That's right. And then we talked about the summoning.
But I think even all three haunts have that scare. And basement, too, as you can tell in talking to Blue. Like, we really like the mix of the humor and the horror part. You know,
absolutely.
Like Sunset Lodge, we had such great fun in creating the music and creating, like, their little brochures. There's a commercial for Sunset Lodge on the air, which, or not on the air, although I should have done that, on YouTube and stuff, which is really fun. Nocturne's got some weird humor in it. And Infernal is definitely, this is year two of Infernal, and when we opened Infernal last year, we said it's a collection of all the most notorious and terrible super paranormal items.
Which spoiler alert for last year, thanks to the recklessness of these dearly departed poltergeists,
yes,
open a portal to hell, which is not what you wanted to happen.
Right.
So this year, let's try again.
Yeah, and that was great fun. We said, let's just, every year we do Infernal Collection, it's going to be, we're really sure it's not going to happen again. We even did a whole thing, a video with, like, the guy saying, oh, that was all hoax. You know, it was just reality TV.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
We have to get out of here in a minute. Hey, Dutters. Katie, a.k.a. Dutters, is here.
Hi.
Very briefly.
Yes.
What went wrong with the Scarehouse Flugtag Craft?
Oh, my gosh.
In the middle of...
You said Flugtag. People are like, what the...
In the middle... Red Bull Flugtag is a event that takes place all over the world. It was in Pittsburgh for the first time this year.
YouTube it.
People build a thing and then run that thing off of a pier to see if it flies.
Kind of like a cliff in the middle of the water.
Exactly. Did someone very nearly die on a giant Back to the Future hoverboard this year? Yes, that happened. Deadspin picked it up with the headline, Man Eats Shit in Idiot Contest.
Yep.
That... but also, in the middle of building this haunt,
yes,
the Scarehouse built a zombie flying craft.
Yes.
And oh boy, did it plummet straight down into the water. Even faster than you thought a failure would go. It just, off, bam. Like, it ran at the ground.
But if we pulled it out of the water, we could have flown it again.
It stayed together.
Solidly. Yes.
Okay.
It was 100% still together.
That's amazing, because usually plenty of them fall apart before they hit the water.
Yes.
So you're saying because of all of your experience in building haunts,
yep,
it didn't fly at all, but it survived that journey.
Exactly. We're here to make things scary and stay together.
Yeah.
We don't know the flying parts of things.
Right. How's the year going for you?
Good. Really well. Having a blast.
Yeah. Again, we can't recommend it highly enough. Come to the Scarehouse. Go to the basement if you think you can handle it. And listen, there is the safe word. You can, I'm betting that bunnies are probably a little lower this year.
Well, so what happens is basement is...
Bunny is the safe word.
Bunny's the safe word.
If you're uncomfortable, you can say bunny and they will whisk you out of the experience.
Basement is a low throughput attraction. You know, we don't only have so many tickets.
Yeah.
And as we get later on in the month, there are fewer and fewer tickets available. It's not hype. It does sell out frequently.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what's happening is... The fan base for the basement is, you know, diehards. There are people who come every year, every year, every year. Mm-hmm. So they're actually so many people who come every year, they're not bunnying out because, you know, they've done it.
Yeah, they know what to expect.
Four times, five times, six times. Yeah. And that's actually, that could be a whole other conversation. That has been an interesting challenge for us in the basement because we do have some people who going like, yeah, you know what, I thought it was scarier before. Like, well, once you're locked in a coffin, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to lock you in a coffin again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a really challenging thing that people, that first time you do it, it's, you're so keyed up because you've never had an experience like that, trying to change up and satisfy different things as it goes on. And that's why this year in particular, we sort of tried a totally different kind of approach to theming and some of the other stuff we're doing. And so far it's been working out great.
Well, and thanks as always for having us. We love doing this every year. A shout out to the podcast TriPaste Pod.
Yeah.
Because they gave us a plug this week with a guy saying, yeah, I listen to the show, You Can't Handle the Truth. The best thing they do is every year they go to this extreme haunted house and record right afterwards.
That's their favorite thing of the year of right. Everything we do is
never,
you guys.
Never mind.
So
never
we
mind,
suck.
Never mind 51 movie reviews.
Yeah, no.
They like when we come here. We will be back with movie reviews last year. Last year. We'll be back.
We'll be back next year with movie reviews.
Next week, we will return with movie reviews. I think there's no better way to end the evening than to just have Blue Sky tell everyone how to live their lives going forward.
Get it right. Get it tight. Suffer the rave, bro. And be kind to those hammies.